Albert Gründling is an historian who has just published a biography of Frederik van Zyl Slabbert called Slabbert, Man on a Mission. Albert, good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, John.
11 and a half years, well, almost 11 years after his death, what made you want to write about Mr. Slabbert?
I was fortunate in 2011 to go to Pike's Peak, where his wife lives in Swaziland, to look at his papers. At that point, I thought somebody else should be doing a biography of him, as it's not really my forte. But I started working on Slabbert as an academic. That intrigued me initially. And from there, it just grew on me. And eventually, I retired in 2018, and I thought then I'll use the time that I had available to complete a biography of him. You mentioned something about which I found intriguing in the introduction about the Constitution. Would you mind if I say something along those lines?
No, of course not, Albert.
And I think the important thing, it's often overlooked, that one of the most enduring insights and Slabbert's contribution is that his early involvement, even as a relative newcomer to Parliament in 1974, he was only 34 years old at the time, he highlighted the importance that South Africa should have a new constitution. Today it seems passé, but at that time, where apartheid was so dominant and Parliament was often got bogged down in National Party, United Party, fights,
yeah,
which didn't lead anywhere, Slabbert provided a new grammar for Parliament. And one of those key elements that he introduced was a need for a new constitution. And he and David Wells from UCT wrote a book, South African Options, was published in 1979. The Federal Congress of the Progressive Federal Party in 78 approved a new draft constitution. So right early on, Slabbert realized the importance and worked on various formats of that.
You've taken, in a sense, at times, an interesting approach, a kind of psychological attempt to understand the man's choices through early childhood experiences and so on. So the uncertainty of his life in its early years, perhaps you suggest contributing to the fact that he had supposedly this 5-year attention span where he didn't stick with one thing for too long, that perhaps the progressive nature of his politics might have had to do with the fact that from a very early age, the relationship that he had with his black carer and with a young black friend. And that's not always something which is done in biographies, attempts to tease out the adult man from, particularly political biographies, from the very young man.
Yes, I think one should, what I found being involved in history for a long time, or historical writing, it became almost second nature to look at the long view of things and to go and trace back possible origins of that. Now, one can easily go astray, and one can overemphasize it and go off the tracks or just get it wrong. But I think in Slabbert's case, if one looks at the continuities and discontinuities, his life from early age was marked more by discontinuities than continuities, especially as he came from a fractured home environment. Change was nothing strange to him. He didn't necessarily welcome it, but he didn't stand back from change as well. It's not as if he was afraid to attempt new things. He wasn't settled in his ways because that wasn't the way he was brought up. That wasn't the way he experienced early life. And I think the key to understand Slabbert is that he was looking for just where the thing didn't work, where it's clear that apartheid didn't work. We had to find something new. And he didn't back off from that particular challenge.
I won't say I knew him well, but I did know his half-brother, Sean Taylor, who makes an appearance on a couple of pages of your book. I knew Sean well, and we acted together, and we'd come down to Cape Town, and then we'd go to the house in Rokoop Avenue, and I was more interested in politics than the other actors, and so I would have conversations with him, and I found him an extraordinarily deep thinker and an intelligent man, but also a character of enormous warmth and bonhomie. I don't know whether you knew him at all.
No, I didn't know him. That's an advantage as well as a disadvantage. Yeah. From what I've picked up and what many people told me, it accords with what you've been saying, that he was a gregarious person. And at the same time, he wasn't frivolous. He could analyze and politics in a way that was made sense to ordinary people. And I think that was part of his appeal. In the book, I've got a whole subsection trying to explain his charismatic character and how one can actually try and come to grips with that. Besides just saying that he was charismatic, what made him charismatic? And I do try and analyze that to some extent.
Yeah. And You conclude by quoting R.W. Johnson in a kind of, not conclude, but part of the conclusion is a quote from R.W. Johnson, which his ultimately unsuccessful political career poses the question, what went wrong? And you quote also Slobbert describing himself in 1999 as a failed politician. And having read the book now and having followed his political career, known him a little bit, I'm not sure that failed politician is an accurate descriptor.
Yes, I got my reservations about that. If one looks at politics in a very narrow sense, and the thing about what Slobbert said about himself, one should interrogate that as well. But if one looks in a very narrow sense, in terms of parliamentary politics and party politics, then he didn't succeed what people expected, the way people expected. But overall, he had quite a different view of politics, and he wasn't out to get the kind of accolades that other politicians tend to wish for. So in his own mind, he almost had a higher calling for politics, that he wanted to rise above the ordinary. And he wanted to, and that was difficult given the circumstances in South Africa. Perhaps one can say that he overreached, but it's not a case that he didn't fully immerse himself in that particular venture which he might have been involved in at a specific point. So overall, I find even when he left Parliament, there was Idasa, there was Dakar, and there was an electoral commission after the transition in South Africa and the Witwatersrand Council of Metropolitan Chamber. So he stayed active, but not in a way that some of his acolytes wanted him to behave.
It's bizarre that if you Google Frederik van Zyl Slobbert, it takes you to Wikipedia and the headline says Frederik van Zyl Slobbert businessman, which kind of puts it in this. Albert Grunling, thanks very much for talking to us briefly about your really interesting book of insights into Frederik van Zyl Slobbert. What we didn't get into, and it's really important to try and understand the man better, is this Man on a Mission subtitle. Whatever he did, he was following a mission, and it's an important part of understanding him. Albert Grunling is the person I was speaking to.